Hey mama, I'm your host, Brooke Jefferson. I'm a wife, mama to two, and business coach for moms with businesses. I'm on a mission to help you go from the best kept secret to a reputable brand that results in a profitable business. And the best part, you don't have to sell your soul to social media to achieve it. My very first business was a photography business that I started back in 2014. And by 2018, it became my full-time career and I was able to leave the classroom. Along the way, I've built and scaled multiple six-figure businesses. I started this podcast as a way to encourage, equip, and inspire you on your entrepreneurial journey. If you're ready to find a community that supports you, implement strategies in your business that work, and uncover that confidence within you, this podcast is for you. Grab your kids some snacks and pop those earbuds in. It's time to grow and scale your business. Hi, thank you so much for coming on the show today. For those who don't know you, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share more about my own experience in motherhood and my story. I am Elizabeth. I am a mom of three boys, 9, 7, and 4. I live here in Minnesota as a licensed professional clinical counselor and a registered play therapist. And so that's kind of my original business, if you want to say. And I have been in Minnesota probably, 15 years. I came from Wisconsin. So I've basically been a Midwest girl my whole life.
I love that. So I've actually never been to the Midwest. I feel like I've hit every corner except the Midwest. So I'll have to knock that off my bucket list at some point. And I meet so many people from Minnesota. Like you guys, I feel like Minnesota is just full of entrepreneurs. So I'm sure you guys have networks and events out the wazoo. So that's
yes,
so cool.
Yes.
So for those who don't know what a play therapist is, and I'm always like intrigued, I feel like my ears perk up whenever someone's like, I'm a play therapist. What does that mean? What does that look like in your practice?
Yeah. So a registered play therapist is someone who has gone through extensive training in the mental health field in order to treat children for mental health diagnoses. So, a child who might be very anxious and who has an anxiety disorder or would qualify for that, in my professional opinion, it would be best for them to see someone who is really trained in reaching children in their developmental stage. And so how I like to explain it to parents a lot of times is, you know, as adults, we think of therapy as sitting on a couch and having more of that talk therapy because adults tend to be more logical. You know, we have a harder time going back into our right side of the brain, which is more creative and those emotions. And for children, they have not really developed as much of that logic and the speaking ability like adults. And so play is really their language. It is how they express emotions. That's how they learn, is through play. That's why you'll see a lot of preschools, right? Their focus is on play-based learning because we have research to back it up, right? So a child will come in and instead of sitting on a couch and having a conversation with a grown-up about how they're feeling, which is so silly when you really picture that in your head, right? They're just not capable of really integrating that. And so I come alongside of them and we use play. It can be non-directive, which just means that we kind of follow their lead in the play and we speak more in metaphor, or it could be more therapist directed, which would be more using games and toys in a more directive way to work through emotions. So that's my really long answer. Hopefully that cleared it up.
That's great. That is so interesting and such a special line of work. I love children myself. I'm a former teacher and I also have kids of my own. And in my photography business, that's what I photographed all the time was children. And I very much had my sessions child focused. I mean, I'm not going to make them do anything they didn't want to do.
No.
So you describing that, I'm like, I can so relate to that. That might in another world might have been a career choice that I could have done. So
yeah,
I love that. Okay. Did you ever foresee yourself becoming in the line of work that you are? Did you grow up as a 5-year-old child and into high school thinking, I'm going to be a therapist?
No, not at all. I actually probably didn't know what that was at the time. I think back then, in the early 90s, who knew what that was? But I remember as a child, my number one career was always going to be an author. I loved writing stories. I loved acting those things out. Theater was a big part of my background. I actually minored in it in college. I thought I'd be that kind of creative realm.
Yeah.
But that obviously, you know, reality, I was like, oh, okay, I'm proud of myself, of my achievements, but I'm not, you know, that good. So then I kind of shifted. And honestly, I did not know what I wanted to do in college. I think that's obviously very common for most of us. We're like, well, okay, I don't know. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. What do I do? I always loved children. And so that has been something I've really seen God use throughout my whole life, really. I just have loved babysitting. I love kids. I could not wait to be a mom. That has always been something I've just died for. So I probably would have been a teacher, but I took a child psychology class in college, in my undergrad, and I really found it interesting. I thought it was just fascinating how the brain worked and how children worked. And I love that avenue. And so I kind of went down that path and graduated with a child psychology major, and then realized, oh, shoot, I can't do anything with this without going to graduate school. So I had to go that path as well, and did that, and had a few interesting jobs before I went to graduate school and got my license, but it all worked out. So
it always does. And I'm always so interested in hearing like how people got there, because I think in our minds, whenever we're growing up, we just assume, but based on what we see and what we're told and encouraged to do, we think it has to be this A, B, C, D, E step. And what's so funny is it actually looks like a crazy roller coaster from Six Flags, because I don't know about you, but nothing has been a beeline for me. I've never just gone from A to B. It's been just so many things going from A, jumping to D, back to A, back to B. I mean, it's just been crazy. So I'm always interested in just like hearing how things have played out. So I know that you, obviously, you have a practice. You have said that. Tell us, what does life look like with the practice? Did you go into it full-time, full-time hours? Have you been able to create your own hours? Tell us a little bit about how you found some freedom in being both, you know, a therapist and a mother.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of therapists go through a similar journey. And obviously, everyone's ending point can be still different. But the start is usually you kind of work in a clinic-based setting. And so that's what I started off doing. I had to earn a ton of hours in order to even get my license. And so I had to be under supervision for quite a long time, well over 2 years. And so then once I got licensed, you know, the more, well, I'll back up. Actually, when I had my first child in the clinic setting, when I was still working there, it really started to hit me that I didn't want to be there as much anymore. I wanted to be home. And like I said before, I've just always wanted to be a mom. I didn't want to miss anything. I didn't want to miss the milestones. Yeah, I wanted to have it all. But I also obviously worked really hard for this license and didn't want to just stop doing that career. And I loved helping people. It's very rewarding work. And so I slowly started to kind of scale back my hours at the clinic, and then eventually kind of learned of some other opportunities where, gosh, I could be like a contractor instead of an employee, which gives me a little more freedom in that realm. And then eventually kind of got nudged out of a clinic setting because I was working so little hours there that it wasn't worth their while. And really, I'm thankful to this clinic owner. She really was like, you know what, you should just go out on your own. Like, that would be probably best. And that was really scary, but I was like, okay. And I did that. And so now I've been completely on my own in private practice. I actually don't take insurance, which is unusual as well in the therapy world, but I found a lot more freedom to really help people rather than have to do all this background paperwork. And insurance is a real pain for the practitioners as well as people. Obviously, it's quite expensive. So yeah, now I'm doing private practice, and the flexibility that it's brought me and my family has been tremendous. I mean, I completely make my own hours. I can work as much as little as I want, making space for my clients, of course, that I do have on my caseload, but it's been beautiful. And I've really enjoyed that balance. And yeah, I would recommend it to anybody in that therapy world looking for more flexibility or freedom, because I definitely found it through private practice.
Love that you were able to find something that worked for you and aligned with, you know, your desires and you being a mom, but still wanting to help people. And I'm just a big contender that you can have both. Huge believer that you can be both. You can have a business, you can help people, you can work a full-time job, and you can be a mom. So I love for you that you explored all the different options and you finally found something that fits exactly what you want it to be. On the flip side, so I know you have this incredible brand and business, this other business that you are building up that very much aligns, I believe, with your practice, but it's all about this experiencing motherhood. Tell us a little bit about what that means, what your vision is, and how in the world you even, you know, took the leap to do this.
Yeah. And ironically, I realized even at the beginning when you asked me to share about myself, I did not even mention this business. It's that new. It just did not even come out. So I recently, within the last about 7 months, started another business focused on mothers, you know, their journey, their experiences, the ups and the downs. And within that business, I offer coaching. And so I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But then I have a podcast I recently launched that is all about covering different topics like mental health, talking about other moms, you know, just normal moms, if you want to call them that, of their experiences, their stories, and then inviting other experts on different topics and just helping us really experience motherhood and also grow into who we can become still more. And so I'm doing this whole business. I'm working on a course as well that's going to hopefully kind of bridge. I'm hoping that the crossroads, I think there's a lot of women who don't medically need therapy services. It's just not appropriate. However, they're still struggling with something or they have goals that they want to accomplish, but therapy doesn't quite fit. Therapy tends to be more past and present and can be future focused as well, but it's really about healing and moving forward through the healing. And whereas coaching is more present and future and more growth focused. And so I feel like the course and coaching can be a real bridge for those women who don't want to seek out therapy or don't need therapy because they don't have an actual diagnosable medical, you know, diagnosis. So yeah.
That's incredible. And I have to agree, as a mom, a woman, multifaceted, we just said that on another interview too, because we really are, you know, there's so much to us. Sometimes we just need space to just cry it out, talk it out, like just have space for ourselves where we are not giving, but we are more so filling back our cups. I love that analogy of the cup because I just feel like that is so relatable. And all of us could literally say, my cup is like this full or this bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah. So I love that analogy. What are some ways or some pain points? Let's go there. What are some pain points you see moms really struggle with or carry around?
I think, of course, this can vary. And what I love about what I feel like God has put on my heart with this other business is that every woman's experience is going to be completely unique. So I'm going to make some general pain point statements now. And of course, that might be different for you if you're listening. You know, I think the stress of how much we carry as moms, of just we feel like society puts on that we have to do all these things and we have to do them all perfectly, is so heavy. And I see that a lot, even for myself, of feeling, you know, like we're entering into a new season of summer and school's out and feeling this pressure of like, oh my gosh, I have to make this summer so great for my kids. But I'm also, you know, trying to still keep the house clean, or I'm trying to plan our meals, and I'm trying to run multiple businesses, and I'm trying, you know, and I'm trying to do this all and make it appear that I'm doing it so well when I'm not. I'm definitely failing at some areas. I'm not doing it perfectly. But I think women, you know, as and moms in particular, we really feel like we have to do it all perfectly. And then we get to a point where we're just exhausted and we're overwhelmed and we're burnt out, and things can quickly spiral down very quickly rather than trying to curb this all before it gets to that point. And so I work with a lot of women in therapy and in coaching, and even listening to comments that, you know, they've listened to a podcast episode, and it's so relatable because it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I feel like I do have mom rage, or like I'm so angry all the time and irritable and short with my kids, and I don't want to be that way. What's going on? And so I think, you know, pain points, you know, obviously are going to be different for everyone, and everyone's coming from a different, even childhood themselves, which plays hugely into how we parent and how we mother. But yeah, I would say overwhelm, this idea of holding it all together and trying to, you know, look a certain way, could even be just looking like a, you know, healthy quote, you know, body image, or that particular mom type driving that minivan with the vanilla latte or whatever it is. But yeah.
How much influence do you think the perfect Pinterest world and all the social media and the mom influencers, how much influence do you think that is playing out day to day for those of us trying to be moms ourselves?
Oh gosh, so much. I can even think for myself, you know, being, I guess you could call me an entrepreneur in a sense of starting this other business outside of my private practice. You know, I look and follow a lot of people on social media, and even for myself, it can feel like, oh my gosh, they're doing all of this content all the time. It's looking so beautiful. Like, I got to do more. I got to do more. And I find myself even falling in that trap as a therapist, right? Of like, oh my gosh, like I need to be just not so focused on everyone else. And I need to focus on, you know, who God's created me to be, what my experience is, what talents God's given me, and how can I use that and then use my time intentionally. And I think that's been a word for me that's coming up more frequently, even as I'm entering into this new summer season with my children, of I don't want to be sitting next to them all the time on my computer trying to make content or edit a podcast episode. I want to be intentional with my time and be fully present with them, right? And so that's hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think we are all much more influenced than we want to give credit or even admit. I mean, there are times where I just have to cut the scroll. I just have, like, I can't for days, because whether it's someone that I know personally and then she looks like she's killing it, and you know what I mean? Like she is just checking all the boxes, and I'm like, yeah, I haven't worked out. I haven't cooked a meal in 2 weeks. We've just been surviving over here. I think it's, first of all, encouraging to know we all struggle with this, but I think it's also encouraging to know, and I know you're really big about boundaries. I was studying up a little bit, listening to some of your podcasts, and I really want to hone in on just a few boundaries that are helpful for all of us. Do you have one or two that you're like, here's a boundary if you're not doing it, that I think would be really helpful for you? I'm curious to hear what that is for you, because for me, I literally just said one, and that is I cut myself off when I start spiraling from the scroll.
Yeah, totally. Boundaries, I feel like, are so important. And I know at least I've heard a lot of people talking about it lately. And so I'm sure that's why it's on my mind as well. I think boundaries really can be looked at of like, oh gosh, you have boundaries. That's so negative. Like, oh, you don't have the freedom to go do that. When in reality, I think boundaries actually give us the freedom to really fully enjoy life, especially if you're looking at your time in motherhood, right? We are trying to balance everything. We have different priorities and different seasons of motherhood. You know, if you're a new mom and you have a little tiny baby, or you have a baby and a toddler, that season is hard. Like, it is so hard. And your priority of working out every day probably isn't going to happen, right? Like, I think, and putting a boundary in that sense of, you know what, like my space and my energy needs to go to feeding this newborn. It needs to be being there for my toddler, potty training, whatever it is. And that's going to look different for, you know, now I've got older kids. All my kids can use the bathroom. You know, do they pee in the toilet all the time? No, but, you know, boys, but we're getting there. And I think just this different season now is like, okay, they can entertain themselves sometime. A boundary for me is I don't want to be a parent who is on social media, on my phone, scrolling while my kids are playing next to me. And I'm not saying that you can't do that sometime, because I think that's okay for our kids to see the real you, that's something that is bringing you joy. But I think having a boundary of like, okay, I'm not going to be doing this, you know, right next to my kid playing. Maybe I can say, I need to go do something else. You got to go check emails or go do whatever. But yeah, I think boundaries are just so important for everything. And I think you'll find a lot of freedom if you start identifying what you want to leave as your legacy in motherhood. What do you want your kids to remember about you?
So glad that you were talking about the season that you're in, because I actually have an entire separate episode where I really was diving into this as one of my work family balance tips, because that's it. It's what works for me is going to be different for you in your season. And I remember like the things I can do now and the freedom I have now, I couldn't do that when I had a newborn and a toddler. I couldn't even work my business as much as I wanted to because they were so little and I was their primary caregiver. They couldn't do anything by themselves. So I think, you know, you have to take an honest look at the season that you are in and then establish what are your boundaries and what are your priorities. And then those are the things that you give. And I even mentioned, you know, you're going to have a season where your business is the last thing on your priority list. I mean, yeah, mama's got to make money, but at the same time, you got to still float that marriage and raise those kids and everything else that you have going on to where your business may not get that top, you know, position for priority. So boundaries can look different. I just love that you were, you know, saying that I believe boundaries are a lifeline, truly. To bring it back to faith really quickly, you can even see how God created boundaries. I mean, the sea, the land, the sky, like boundaries have been here since the beginning of time. And that is ultimately what allows you to have freedom. So I just had to give some extra emphasis into that because I know I also would roll my eyes and think like, I'm not doing that. I don't need work hours. I don't need to put my phone away. It's going to be fine, you know? And that was more restrictive and more chaining me to a life I didn't want than if I would have just had the boundary and go put the phone away and just enjoyed an hour with no screen in front of my face. So anyway, boundaries are essential. So glad you brought that up. Okay, one other thing that I want to dive into is you mentioned you are going to be having a course releasing sometime 2023, and your purpose of the course is really focusing on identity and motherhood. What does that mean?
Yeah. So the reason I wanted to focus on identity is I feel like that is a obviously huge aspect of humanity, right? When you become a mother, you take on another identity that you don't ever get rid of. Like you are a mom now forever till you die. And what I like about the word identity too is, you know, as a believer in Christ, obviously for me, my number one identity is in Christ. Like that is, I'm a child of God. That's my number one. And then I've got all of these other identities or hats, if you want to call them, that I wear, right? Like I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a therapist, sister, daughter, you know, on and on and on and on. And what I like about the term identity is that it often, you know, it can feel sometimes like that's all you are, when in reality, there's so much more depth to it. And I think a lot of moms really feel like, you know, if somebody came up to you, for example, and said, you know, oh, who are you, Brooke? You know, your first answer is probably like, oh, I'm a mom. I have three, you know, like I even did that in the beginning, right? Like it's often like that, or I'm just a mom is a lot of the common phrases I hear. And so this course is really just a very, you know, basic but comprehensive, in a sense, stepping stone for women to start to figure out, like, who am I? I'm not just mom. I'm so many more things. How do I discover who else I am? And it's not at all strictly faith-based at all. It's really for any woman, whether they believe or not. You know, of course, there's going to be those aspects of asking yourself, like, do you believe in a spiritual realm? You know, like, how does that fit into your belief system, whatever that is? And so I think a lot of times when women come to therapy, for example, and sometimes even coaching, it would be a little bit appropriate, but therapy tends to be a more appropriate avenue of figuring out, like, you know, what did you identify as a child? Who did you see? How did that identity form? And for a lot of women, like I said earlier, I don't think, you know, therapy isn't the right time, or, you know, financially, it's not the best fit. And so I'm hoping that this course can really be a stepping stone to at least start asking those questions so that you can start figuring out, like, who am I? Like, I love being a mom. And it's not about taking away that identity, but it's also like, who else are you? What else is your identity? What does that mean for you?
Wow. Just wow. Because as you're talking about this, a couple of things. Number one, the phrase identity crisis. I mean, we literally joke about it all the time. And then I literally walked through this just recently of, you know, I'm 29, I'm about to turn 30 in a couple months. And I'm just like, this is like a quarter life crisis. I don't know who I am. I feel like I just need to like start over, you know? So I think it's interesting, but these are real, real things. And then to take it a little more seriously, look at the world. It's an identity crisis for real. You know,
oh, yes.
People don't know who they are and they're just latching on to labels and, oh, that sounds good. Like, yep, I think that's me. And so I, you know, for you, you might think, man, this course, like, yeah, I mean, I definitely know I'm going to transform lives and impact moms, but man, I don't think you even know, like, you're like championing this huge issue in the world right now. And so just never forget that on your journey. I know I've built several courses and you're going to feel like you're coming up against this mountain and you're going to feel like, you know, and even, you know, it might even feel too like you're being attacked on the closer you get to releasing this. So hang on to that because, you know, when you create courses that really are so powerful and so transformative, I mean, it's just natural that you're going to feel a lot of pushback from it, but I'm so excited for this. And I think moms and women specifically need to be reminded of who their identity is while the world is telling us we don't have one. You know, I'll stop there before this turns, you know, into this huge other, not even a conversation that needs to be had here, but
Yeah, I love that you said that though. And I appreciate the encouragement because I think you're right. There's this, you know, even currently just so much going on and it can feel so overwhelming. And we do find ourselves as moms and women comparing all the time, like we talked about earlier in this, right? Of just you're like, oh gosh, I should look like that, or I should be doing that, or oh gosh, maybe I need multiple businesses too. And it's like, well, no, unless you feel like that is being put on you as a calling or a shift in your life. And I think even for the identity, it's like, your motherhood identity is going to look totally different than mine. And I think that's the beauty in it. I love that it's different. I think that's the whole, it's like that tapestry, right? Like you don't want the whole tapestry to be blue. Like you want it to be a beautiful color of a pattern or design. And you don't get that unless you have different threads interwoven, right?
I love that. So, so good. Well, thank you so much for filling our cups today. I hope at least we're walking away a little more encouraged in who we are and able to shed some of these identity thoughts that we might have and just be encouraged that you can have both. I would love for you to share how people can connect with you, remind them of your podcast so that they can follow along for all things motherhood.
Yeah. And thank you again so much for having me on. It's been so much fun getting to know you and having this conversation. It's so important. But yeah, you can find me at Experience Motherhood on Instagram. And then my podcast is called Experience Motherhood Podcast. And you can find those on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. And then, yeah, I would love for you to just join me on one of those avenues and reach out to me and let me know, you know, your own experience in motherhood, because I would love for it to be a two-way street. I love to hear others' stories and just how God's been working in their life. And especially if you have an interest in wanting to make some mindset shifts or try to make those changes, I also offer one-to-one coaching that I'd be happy to talk more with you about. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm excited to share this with everyone.